Welcome everybody to another podcast, just Josabot Podcast. We're here with Rodolfo Ruiz, attorney at law. Thank you for coming by, Rodolfo. How are you today?
I'm doing better than I deserve, man. It's been a blessing, and thank you again for the opportunity and for having me on the show.
All right. Rudy, 2020, what a year. How has 2020 been for you, Rudy?
You know, to me, it's been a season of just really getting to know who I am as a person, like building character. And we just had a newborn, my wife and I. So it was kind of just mending the family together, getting to know each other in a deeper kind of sense and level. You know, I don't know if you guys are parents watching out there or have a husband or a wife out there, but it's those seasons that you get to grow close with your spouse, and having a newborn child just brought us together. And this pandemic season has allowed us to do that because, you know, like everybody knows, stay home, right? So we kind of been doing that, and, you know, blessed with work to be able to allow me to do that for the most part, and not having to go into the office a lot. So that's the kind of season it's been for me. You know, I know many people out there have had more unfortunate circumstances and things of that nature, but for me personally, it's been very eventful, man, and I'm glad to have gone through this season, because I know out of it is growth, and that's what we expect from my family. That's what I expect from my wife, and she expects the same for me. So we're excited.
That's awesome, Rudy. Mr. Ruiz, attorney at law. Why law?
You know, from when I was a child, man, I used to watch these shows like Law and Order or SVU and stuff like that. And I would kind of love the aspect of investigating whether something was real or not, right? Because there are so many things that could play a part into a process like the justice system that ultimately would result in somebody's life being altered, right, to that extent. So growing up, I always had the desire, like I wanted to do that. We would travel as migrant workers up north, and we were always living in such poverty. And I think going into law would allow me to not just be able to get wealth, you know, for my family, but it allows me to be able to be that type of person who can give back to the community, because that's the purpose, I believe. That's the purpose of being able to get a career or something that allows you to generate wealth, is to be a blessing back to the community. So that's really why I chose it. And man, I'm loving it. I've only been licensed for about a year, really. 2019 was when I got licensed. September 2020 was my 1 year mark, and I'm loving, man. I'm enjoying it. It's awesome to be able to help your family and even help those beyond that.
So is it like the way attorneys are portrayed on the film and on TV and in Law and Order, or is it completely different? Did you have like a shock?
You know, it's very similar, but it's also very different. Like, there's a lot of things that you see, and I guess we need to start with this, right? There's so many types of practices that you can do when you're an attorney. You can practice criminal defense, or you can do civil, which is like your auto accidents or your slip and falls, or you can do other types of law like wills or real estate or property. So there's just so many aspects of it. But the most common, obviously, that everybody knows is criminal. Right. So when we see these shows, there's a lot of things that you can do in court that the show portrays. Other things you're just like, man, it wouldn't happen, because there's rules, there's regulations, there's cases and stuff like that that would prevent certain things from being presented the way it's presented on the shows. But, you know, those shows are so awesome to watch, because you get an idea of what's going on, and it's fun. It's fun, right, to be able to do those things and kind of just figure it out, you know, for your client. So to answer your question, it's both. It's a little bit of both, right? So.
Then, okay, so that's fair, and that's reasonable, you know, and you are fairly new to the practice. Like you said, it's been about a year since you got sworn in. So do they make you go through the whole process of having somebody swear you in? It has to be like an official judge, or does it have to be somebody else, or what are the parameters in all of that? I mean, help me understand.
Yeah, so you do have to get sworn in once. So first, obviously, you got to take the state bar, right? And if you're from different states, every state has its own kind of bar There is a uniform bar that most of the states have, but just to get forward from that, you have to take a test, right? Once you pass that test, you're allowed to get a license. And once you get your license, because remember, you have to go through this process of character and fitness and whether or not you're even able to practice law. There's so many things that go into it. At the end of the day, you do have to swear. You have to be sworn in. Now, I don't remember the actual rule, like word for word, but there's certain people who can actually swear you in. It can be any attorney, really. It can be a judge that's appointed or a judge that's been elected, kind of like your municipal judges and stuff like that, or your appointed judges where, you know, president or somebody appoints them. And it can also even be a notary, you know, just somebody who the state bar has approved to say, you know, you're credible to be able to swear somebody into the practice of law. And for me, like what I did is I got sworn here in my house. I had a judge who I know, Carlos Ortegon, friend of the family, stuff like that, come to the house, and we had a party here, and he swore me in here, and it was really awesome, and I enjoyed it.
That's awesome. So it's pretty much, it goes back to what the individual wants or how they want to get sworn in. Again, respecting all those parameters.
Right. So you just got to abide, obviously, by what the state bar allows you, who the person allows you to get sworn in by, or the state bar allows you to get sworn in by. But it's really up to the newly licensed attorney who they want to get sworn in by. Maybe it's a close family friend, or maybe it's attorney in the family who's their friend and they want to get sworn in by them. That's pretty much how the process works. And like I said, for me, it was a family friend of ours who just happens to be an attorney and a judge. So might as well bring them, you know. And then, like I said, it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I think the best feeling out of it all was having your family there and, you know, be proud of you. Because for me, like, I personally do it not just to meet my own goals and my own desires, but I want to be able to be a blessing to my family, you know, and extend. Once I'm able to be a blessing to my family, I can extend to the community, and that's just my heart. So it was awesome to see that. And I'm glad that they gave us that option to do that, to kind of just get sworn in by, you know, whom we want to, really.
So you studied at Thurgood Marshall School of Law. That's is that in Texas?
That is in Texas. It's in Houston, Texas, to be exact. That's one of the few schools that offered me an opportunity to go to the law school, because remember, you got to be accepted. The only reason I went there really is because it's the closest one to home. Well, it's not really the closest one. San Antonio has a couple of law schools there, or one at least. But they offered me a full ride scholarship, at least for the tuition part. Still had to pay for like my housing and stuff like that. So for me, it was like, look, I don't have money. You know, my parents don't come from wealth. So as soon as they did that, I was like, okay, that's where we're going. You know, and that's where I went. So, yep, it's in Houston, and that's where I spent the last three years of my life prior to coming back home here to the Rio Grande Valley. So,
and what I'm also reading here is that you were valedictorian of your class.
Yeah, you know, that to me that doesn't mean too much, right? But you know, I'm thankful that I was able to be the valedictorian of the class of 2019 there at Thurgood Marshall School of Law. And to be honest, it's really more like you and your colleagues, they know, right. You know, the valedictorian, yeah. You know, out here in the practice of law, no one's going to ask you, were you number one in your class, or are you the last? You know, once people start figuring it out, you know, it may mean something to them, but at the end of the day, you know, I did graduate valedictorian, and I'm very thankful for that. And I really worked my butt off to get there, but it's all about being licensed. You know, I have many colleagues who are sharp lawyers and who didn't graduate valedictorian. Some graduated the bottom of their classes, but they're phenomenal lawyers. So it's really, school and practice are completely different things. So once you get your license, your experience starts to grow into practice, and that's where you become who you are as an attorney, really.
Oh, hold on, say it one more time for those in the back not listening. You know, and the reason I say this is because, look, I have two female daughters, right? I would hope that they're females if they're daughters, right? Yeah, I have two daughters, and one of them, and my oldest, she is extremely knowledgeable and very, you know, like savvy and a go-getter, a book smart.
So she got it from her mom, is what you're saying.
And that's what I'm saying. But she goes, hey, Dad, I'm number two in the class.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and never want to tell her, you know, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But my argument is always this, exactly what you just said. It doesn't matter if you're first in the class or if it doesn't matter if you're the last in the class. The fact of the matter is that you walked the stage, you passed your bar, and now you're licensed, and now they're going to call you an attorney, and now they're going to call you a doctor. So I think that's where you were headed with that. Is that true to say?
I mean, you're exactly right. We have this common kind of like funny joke that we have, you know, the person who, guess what they call the person who graduates last from their class? An attorney or a doctor, depending on wherever you go, right? You know, obviously with the assumption that you got to pass the test, but the reality is once you get and pass law school or medical school or whatever graduate program you're in, you're going to be known. That's going to follow you, right? That's something somebody can't take away from you. I mean, you can take away so many things, you know, your car, your laptop, your phone, but the degree that you invested time and work in, no one can ever take that away from you. You know, whether it's a bachelor's degree, an associate's or a graduate degree, whatever it is, it means something, you know, and we don't want to take away from the livelihood of, you know, you're number one or you're number two. I mean, that's, you invested, like I said, a lot of time. You sowed a lot of seeds to get you to that point. And if I'm honest, the time that I invested helped me in preparation to study the bar, right? Because you start focusing on investing all that time for one goal. And for some, just some aren't able to do it, or some just don't do it, you know? So it means something to that extent that at the end of the day, and I say that because I'm 100% of a believer that anybody can do it. You set your mind to it, you know, you have your vision and you want to attack it intentionally and diligently, and I believe you can get there. You know, so that's why I say it like that.
No, and I mean, not to make light of the situation, and you know what, you worked your butt off to get to where the point that you were at in order to be called valedictorian. Not anybody can be called that. However, and that's all school, like you mentioned, that's school, but then practice is completely separate, because in practice you can be the smartest one, but if you don't know how to communicate with people and right. you don't have that EQ, what we call that emotional intelligence, man, you're going to be finding yourself not liked, or, you know, you can't communicate well, or you can't speak to people well. And that's where cases can be won. Is that correct in saying? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I mean, I think character plays a lot of it, and public speaking and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, when you're in court, you have to be able to present your case to a jury or even to a judge, depending on, you know, what type of trial you're getting. But you got to be able to present that in a fashion where they understand it, right? Especially if it's a jury where it's people who don't understand the law maybe as well as, you know, an attorney would or a judge would, that plays a vital role. So you're exactly right. I mean, it's a whole skill set, right? You got to be able to kind of hone in on your specific specialty, but you got to be able to be open in the sense of there's so much that plays a role into it. And like you said, public speaking is one, being book smart is another, understanding the language is yet another, being able to communicate with your peers or with the jury. That being able to simplify it in a way. See, I have this saying where if you can't explain it to somebody, you don't understand it well enough. So to give you an example, like they asked me to tutor when I was in law school, certain subjects, and in order for me to be able to tutor, I would ask myself, do I understand it well enough? Because I can lie to you, or I can present something to you and make you believe that I know it. But if I'm honest with myself, I would ask myself, do I know this well enough to provide it in a simplified fashion for somebody who doesn't understand it yet so that they can get it too, right? So all of that plays a role, man. And you got to build it. You got to build on certain growth. Growth is the key. You never want to be in a place where you're stagnant or where you get comfortable, because when you get comfortable, you're not growing anymore.
Or I know it all, and I know it all, and nobody can tell me how to think, say, or act, right?
Right. That's yet another skill that people have to develop, because some people just are either too prideful or just don't want to learn, you know, and that alone is also, you know, something else that we as attorneys need to take into consideration. And not just attorneys, I mean, people in general, in life.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's topics, there's subjects, there's conversations that you're going to have with your family or your friends. And we have to be willing to seek first to be understood.
I always say this, man. If you
first
can
understand, I'm sorry, then to be understood.
If you can explain it to a 5-year-old and the 5-year-old can regurgitate it back to you and repeat it, then you've done a pretty good job at explaining yourself and making them understand. Because I just recently had a guest and we were talking about that. We were talking about memorization and learning. Memorization is like, okay, by the end of the week, I got to memorize certain aspects of this case so that I can present it. But learning is actually, man, you're speaking the language, you're talking the talk, you're walking the walk, and it's something that is with you, because then you can spit it like anything, right? And the running joke is, man, how do you remember 007373593? Man, I used to want to beat Mike Tyson all the time.
There you go.
Hey, man, so talk to me, because the way I found you and the way I came across Rudy Reese, the attorney, was actually through your wife, because your wife has something going on called hashtag serial tipper. And I got to see some of those videos, and I started doing some more videos and seeing some more videos. And I was like, I was very impressed by what was happening. People want to do good.
Yeah.
People want to bless people.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the average individual say, well, they're not doing anything for us, so you know what? Let us take the lead. You know, because the system is broken. So, I mean, how did Serial Tipper, how was it born?
So, like you said, this is something that my wife just one day came to me and said, you know, I want to do this. And the way that it happened is apparently it was viral on TikTok. It was this lady, I forget what state she was from, but she started it. So the way it works is, she would ask for donations throughout the week. And Friday or Saturday, I guess, whatever the cutoff point was, after you gathered those funds, then you would go out and tip a waiter or waitress or a server in any restaurant, right? Or it could be maybe the pizza man or you know, somebody who has a little snack place, whoever it was. But the goal was to gather these funds throughout the week and be able to provide this big tip for somebody who was struggling or is struggling or may have been struggling, and we just don't know the circumstance, but to provide a tip through this pandemic, because as we know, businesses closed down, people were losing jobs left and right. So that's where it started. So my wife said, you know, I'm going to localize it. I'm going to do it here in the Rio Grande Valley. And she does Hidalgo County, Starr County, and Willacy County as her kind of her goal, her vision of what she was doing down here. And that's what she does, right? So she collects it throughout the week. People donate through Cash App or Venmo, whatever the case is. And then she goes and she gives a big tip to these people. Mm-hmm. And man, let me tell you, I really never like to comment on these things, because one, it's kind of her puppy, right? At the same, I mean, I would talk to my wife about this, but man, some of these comments that people would leave is just kind of like, man, you want to say something, but it's wise that, you know, you just kind of just sit back and let their opinions be their opinions, right? Because right. There was a lot of backlash, because, for example, my wife would record the tips and then she would post them on video. And a lot of people were like, why are you going to do something good and then record it for everybody to see? And we should do it this way or you should do it that way. And we actually talked about all of this before we even posted the first one, right? Because right. We knew people were going to backlash. But then we thought, you know, at the end of the day, this isn't our money. You know, this is money that comes from donations that people give throughout the week and coming from their own pocket, from their own paychecks. I mean, we don't know how they're giving. We would see gifts from 50 cents to the most, I think she said is about 1,000, you know, and we did this because we want to be accountable to the people who would give. We want to show them, look, this is where your money is going. And this person who's receiving it, they're on film. And you see that's the best thing is to see the reactions, like, wow, like, are you serious? And a lot of the times what people wouldn't see on camera is, you know, them crying or them just thanking my wife because people stopped giving tips through this pandemic, or they wouldn't tip as much as they were used to, or they just weren't getting enough crowd in their businesses to be able to get the tips that they were used to getting. And mm-hmm. and at the end of the day, you know, this is their job. And their job provides for their family. I mean, we don't know if they have kids. We don't know if they have parents they're taking care of. We don't even know if they're making ends meet on their own. You know, so my wife said, you know, I want to do this. I want to bring hope to the Valley. I want to bring hope to these people. And that's what she's been doing. I mean, she's been doing it for, man, almost 40 weeks, I want to say. And we've been really blessed by it. I mean, I know we like to call ourselves the vehicle, right? We're just the people who grab the money and take it. But man, we've been blessed to see these people's reactions. And at the end of the day, look, I tell these people who have opinions about it, if you feel there's a better way to do it, you know, go out and do it. No one is comfortable making it the way you think it should be done.
Yeah.
And we just want to continue bringing hope. And that's what we continue
that's,
to do. It
because that's we a beautiful message.
We didn't want to get away from that vision of bringing hope. There's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be people who have opinions. It doesn't matter how much good you're doing in this world or even in this community alone. People are going to disagree at some point. Don't let that stop you from your vision and your goal. Our goal and my wife's real goal, it was her idea and her purpose was to bring hope to the community. And that's what she's doing. And she's continuing it. So I'm excited about it.
I'm getting goosebumps right now just listening to you, man. Because, you know, we stop and think, and I've been talking to a lot of individuals here on this podcast, and you know, it all boils down to always wanting to do something good, you know, and finding a common denominator that's a greater purpose and a greater understanding in life and so forth. You know, and you're right. You're completely right in regards to there's always going to be naysayers, but you know what I say to them? I mean, you don't matter to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I swear to God, because like, if you Google my name, man, like you'll see my mugshot, my 19 year old mugshot right there. First day. Right. And it's like, yo, why, you know, why are you so interested in all of that? Like,
right.
You know, do people not grow? Do people, you know, do they stay the same person they were once? No, that's completely wrong. You know, but it's our opportunity to say, Sasuke, yes, this is what happened on that eventful day. However, you know what? Moving forward, we got to move forward. We've blessed people, we've helped people, we understand people, we make relationships and so forth. And I'm so glad that you guys aren't paying attention to that negative feedback, because you're right. And I tell those people the same thing. If you have an opinion on the matter, well, then you go out and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think you hit it right on the nail. I mean, it's really about, you know, so we also kind of take a step back and think to ourselves, you know, people are going through a lot.
Yeah.
We don't know what people are going through and what causes them to react a certain way. So we're also mindful of that. You know, at the end of the day, our goal is to bring hope, and that's what we're doing. And we want it to grow. You know, we want it to continue to grow, and people are going to attack it, and that's okay. You know, at the end of the day, if we stay focused to that, you know, we're going to be fine. And, you know, I know you brought up, you know, your past and stuff like that, but that's something very important for people to understand too, is people are going to make mistakes in life, and that's okay. You know, the goal is to learn from our mistakes. You know, somebody once told me a wise person learns from their mistakes and an intelligent person learns from the wise person's mistakes. Our goal is to continue growing. That's our purpose, right? Our goal in life should be to continue growing and learning, because we're always going to be learning. Just to give you an example, like in my relationship with my wife, right, in my marriage, man, it's almost like a school to me, right? Because my wife has...
Wait a minute. Pause. Is she the... Wait, hold on. Because I work at a school. Is she like the... Is she a teacher or is she a substitute? Or is she the lunch lady?
Well, We could probably say she's the principal, but right. But really what I was trying to get at is, you know, we're always learning. We're always growing. Our mindsets are going to change. Our desires are going to change. Our needs and our wants are changing. So it may be early on that you're in elementary learning about something, you know, whatever that subject is.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about just math, science, you know, English. I'm talking about in life. There's things that you're going to be learning, and maybe in elementary. But then middle school hits and you're learning something different, and you got to continue growing and adapting to that, because everything changes, right? And,
right.
And time, I mean, as we see it, time changes things. I mean, not too long ago, we didn't have cell phones in our hands. I mean, by the time I was born, you know, their cell phones were already around, right? And by the time I was able to afford one, you know, they were already around by that time. But I say that to say that everything is changing, you know, it's growing, and we grow with it. And we learn to adapt, and we learn from our mistakes. We build character through everything that we experience. It teaches us something. And it's our job to ask ourselves, what did we learn? Because, you know, at the end of the day, there are some people that just don't want to change. And they're going to stay in that muddy tire and that's in that stagnant state until they're ready to change. But you continue to grow. Have that desire to continue to grow and learn, because life is coming and life goes by, and our relationships change, our mindsets and desires change. But as long as we continue growing with it and learning and adapting and loving the situations, I mean, I think we're going to be fine, you know.
But, you know, and to add to that point, I would probably add the communication aspect.
Yeah.
Yes, we continue to learn, but we also continue having dialogue.
Right.
Because
right.
Communication is very important to continuously learn. And if we're not talking about it, if we're just so glued onto these darn things where, I mean, think about it. Back in the days, we had Flappy Bird, right? And oh, Flappy yeah. Bird, you were doing this number, right?
Which I had a very good score, by the way.
But then it transitioned into Tinder. Left, right, left, you know what I'm saying? And all these applications started picking up on all these things. You know what? People are programmed. They're very easily programmed. You know what? Let's do this. Let me create this. But if I'm just focused on these analogs and these algorithms or this phone, then I'm shutting out everybody else. And
right.
I'm not able to communicate with people. And that's the purpose of these podcasts. You know what? We need to talk. We need to converse. And create these moments of understanding. However, there are topics that make people uncomfortable.
Oh yeah.
What are some of those topics that you've seen in the courtroom that are making people cringe?
Well, I mean, you know, I really hate to bring this into our conversation because I don't like to talk about it. But the reality is, there's politics in the courtroom. There's Democrats and Republicans, and everybody has a different view and opinion about certain matters. Let me backtrack, because I need to kind of tell you guys what it is that I do for work. And that kind of ties into the things that I hear, right? Because every we have certain courthouses that deal with federal crimes, for example, or state crimes. And then we have immigration courts and stuff like that. So I actually work for the United States Department of Justice. Specifically, I work for the Office of the Chief Immigration Judge. Disclaimer, I'm not here as a person who's speaking on behalf of my job, right? I'm not speaking here on behalf of the Department of Justice or the Office of the Chief Immigration Judge. I'm just going to kind of tell you what I see, you know, on social media and what I hear, you know, from other colleagues and stuff like that. So I work in an immigration courts. That's what I do, right? So obviously that is a key political debate that we have ongoing, you know, with our friends and families. And it stems obviously from our president. Now, whether I agree or disagree with the president is not my topic of conversation, but that's really the things that I deal with in a more intimate level with my work. So I hear about it all the time, you know, right. Whether what they're doing is right, whether what they're doing is wrong. What can we change? What should be changed? Will a president change certain things? Will they not change certain things? At the end of the day, and I goes back to what we've been talking about almost this entire podcast, we have to understand what our purpose and goal is for our life, right? Because things are going to change. you may have a different president who has a different mindset, a different policy. You might have a president who remains in office for a certain amount of time, but that shouldn't change your goals, shouldn't change your desire, shouldn't change your ability to get to where you want to be in life. What kind of legacy do we want to live, to leave behind? I mean, what kind of legacy do we want to leave? And that speaks to being intentional in working towards our personal vision. I'm not saying you can't get help. You know, the community is there to help us out. I'm actually a fruit of that, right? I couldn't be where I am today without people helping me get there, whether it's my parents, whether it was my coworkers or other family members or other attorneys in the profession. I mean, everybody played a vital role. So these issues that we hear in the courtroom, I mean, they're going to be ongoing. I mean, we can talk about, you know, the death penalty, or we can talk about immigration, or we can talk about drugs or marijuana and stuff. And you know, from 5 years from now, I mean, who knows is going to be the topic. It may be the same topic, because people are always going to have opinions about certain things. But at the end of the day, we just got to stay focused. We got to be true to ourselves and say, look, where do I want to be in life? What do I want to leave behind? Because that's what I got to invest my time in. We were talking about cell phones earlier and social media and all that. We never grow better. We can never be the person we want to be, you know, a more patient person, a more peaceful person, a more giver, if we're investing our time on social media, right? And it's true of all aspects of life. I know that if I invest my time playing video games, for example, I'm not investing my time in my marriage. If I'm investing my time running at the park or going to the gym, and not that's wrong, but if I'm going there 10 hours a day, for example, I'm not investing my time into something else that I believe could be growing. You know, investing time with my son, or investing time with my wife, or investing time in my work. So be very purposeful and be very intentional about where you're investing your time, because it's going to matter. If you invest your time on social media talking about politics, everybody's different opinions, that's who you're going to become, and everything else in your life is going to be lacking. You know, whatever it is that you're investing your time in, we got to be wise. I mean, we got to understand that we can't invest 100% of our time in everything, right? So be purposeful about where you want to do it. I mean, what do you want to see grow in your life? You know, and for me, obviously, it's going to be work. It's going to be my wife. It's going to be my son, family time. So I'm also a believer of God. So that's where I feel I got to spend my time also, you know. So where do I want to invest my time? And that's key for me.
Right. Yeah. You know, you hit on a lot of very good points. I mean, there's a lot of high marks that were the synapses in my brain were just going bing, bing, bing. but ultimately, I mean, you make a lot of sense in the whole part of investing. You know, my mother-in-law is one to tell me that, you know, you got to make deposits to nurture these relationships. You can't be withdrawing all the time. You know, you withdraw all the time, you're going to have a negative balance, and it's going to be difficult for you to catch up to the level where you need to be. Yeah. And that goes back to, like, you know, oye cariño, ¿cómo te fue? Hey, how was your day at work? You know, etc. Additionally, same thing with our kids. Just the other day, I had a breakdown at work, man, and the breakdown happened because I lost a buddy of mine due to COVID. I received information with a family member being ill. I received information with two other good friends being ill, having cancer as well. So I'm just trying to process this in my mind, and I'm just thinking to myself, okay, Jay, why is this coming to you? You know? Well, I knew that I had to go to an individual who was deep rooted with firm beliefs, right? And one of those things that this individual hit on was, Jay, yo, this is a blessing for you, because you're a strong-willed individual, and you have a voice, you have a lot of ways of how you can reach people, talk to people. A lot of people know who you are. You know, you can use this as an opportunity to spread that message. Yeah. And I said, okay, I get that. He says, but let me ask you this question, man. Have you called mom? Have you called dad? I said, yeah. He says, hey, man, just do me one favor, man. Do me one solid. I said, what's that? He says, every time you go, acaricialos, hug them, you know, just so, hey, papito, hey, mamita, ¿cómo estás? How are you? You don't know. Nothing is guaranteed. Just like you as an attorney, you cannot guarantee a win for me.
Right. That's it. That's it.
Same thing in life. Nothing is guaranteed. So we have to value what we got in front of us and make that investment to the things that matter. And you hit it. You hit it right on the money.
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, the things that we deal with, you know, are not on display. I mean, we actually get to choose what we display to people. Right. But there may be so many things happening in the background that we just don't know, right? And that's why it's important, I believe, to invest our time into the right things. I mean, whether it's having a good friend, whether it's having a mentor, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, we got to be open and we got to be real with ourselves, because life, like you said, life is short. It's not guaranteed. We don't know if we're even going to have tomorrow. We don't even know if we're going to have, you know, the next 15 minutes. I mean, in this podcast, we just don't know. So it's a matter of wanting to bring hope to people who need it, because we all need that hope. We all need to feel that sense of peace or that sense of comfort and growth throughout our lives. And we want to be able to feel like we have a purpose.
Right.
Because the most, I believe, the hardest thing for somebody in life is to live an unpurposeful life. Because you don't know why you're here. You don't know why we're created. Why, I mean, is our life just about being born, having a good family, you know, making some money maybe, and then dying? Like, is that what life is really about? You know, ask yourself those questions and begin to understand that you have a purpose. You know, we're all created as unique individuals for a specific purpose, and it's our job to step into that. I mean, and say, okay, I understand what my purpose is now. I'm investing my time into it. Let's get it. You know, let's do it. Yeah. You know, whether that's practicing law or that's being a doctor, I believe careers are a tool that we can use to get through that purpose, right? It's not, right. Being an attorney doesn't define me, I don't think. You know, I don't look at it that way. I believe being in this profession allows me to do things that ultimately drives me to my purpose, right? I'm able to do things, communicate with people or get to know people, build friendships and relationships that I may not have been able to do so without having this job. So these things, I mean, obviously play a bigger role into what I believe is my purpose. And that's our job. You know, it's living a purposeful life is going to bring you drive, is going to bring you hope, is going to bring you a sense of, I want to do something. I'm not just here as waste, or I'm not just here to, you know, pass away eventually, you know.
I have to ask this question because who is your NFL team?
you know, well, I'm from the Rio Grande Valley. You know, I was born in the 90s. You know, back in the 90s, it was all about them Dallas Cowboys.
You know what? You have no purpose in life.
You know, it's unfortunate because that's just who I saw. It was on every TV I could imagine. Whenever the Cowboys played, whether it was at a restaurant or at home, the Cowboys were on. And that's the only thing, for the most part, that everybody saw. So yeah. I grew up with, you know, being a Cowboy fan. And to this day, I still am a Cowboy fan, but
it's been a series of unfortunate events.
There we go.
Man.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
We're still five-time Super Bowl champions, right?
There we go. That's what I like to see. You know, one of my friends always likes to joke around and, hey, man, have you turned on the History Channel? You know, for the Dallas Cowboys, man, back then, talking about the five Super Bowl rings back in the, I don't even know when, History Channel. I'm like, look, at least we have a History Channel. Your team ain't got one ring, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know when it'll happen again. I don't know if it'll happen again.
But you know, and just to add to that point of football, like whoever wins this year, I mean, I strongly feel that it's going to have an asterisk due to COVID. You know, it's been one of those years, has it not?
We cannot give you the trophy until it's thoroughly cleansed or, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's been tough, man. It's been tough. Even for them, like, I know people, I know they make probably more money than the average person, but it, you know, it's their job too. And sometimes they get sick or sometimes they get hurt and have, you know, injuries and stuff like that. And
right.
We don't understand what they're going. They're going, they don't matter how much money you have. Everybody's going through something and everybody needs that hope and purpose. And that's what I love about this podcast, right? Because if you go look through, you know, the people who you've interviewed in the past, it's just an array of different people from different aspects of life who all have what I think is one common goal is to bring good to people, to be givers or to bring hope or to allow people to understand, like, look, you're going to make mistakes and that's okay, but don't let that stop you, you know, continue going, you know, and that's what I love about the podcast, you know?
No, but it's because the main tagline is you got a story to tell. I want to hear it.
There you
that's,
go.
That's what it
there
is, man. Go. Bottom line.
I thought you were going to say it's because you're on it, you know?
No, but or because Scott Casey's listening.
There we go.
I'll be very honest. Those pages are pretty influential.
Yeah.
But man, like, don't believe the hype all the time. I mean, like, it's just a lot of.
Well, not just the hype, but I think people forget, like, what it took to get there. I mean, who knows what these people had to sacrifice or give up. You know, one thing that I never told people this out loud, right? But when I would hear people, like when I was in class in law school, people would just tell me, like, that guy just, he just gets it. He just understands it. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, that guy is not like me. I mean, he's just super smart. But they fail to understand this, or to see, I should say, is the amount of time and hours that I would put into trying to understand something. It's not just I read it once, baby, I got it. You know what I'm saying? No, it was I invested a lot into the, when people were out, you know, in events or just going out to dinner. I mean, I was at home studying through eating dinner or chips, whatever. I invested a lot to get me to that point. And it all goes back to what we've been saying. I believe our mindset can grow, right? The more that we allow it, or the more that we build on that, we're growing and we're growing. So when people would look at me and say, like, man, that guy just knows it. Like, it may have been that I just knew it, but it was because of the growth that I had to invest in to be able to get to that point.
Yeah.
And that's what, I don't want to discourage people. Like, people who want to seek, you know, graduate professions or a bachelor's degree or whatever it is, it's really just about being diligent and investing your time into getting it done. You can get it done. I mean, I grew up poor, broke. I mean, you ever heard of an army brat? I was a Salvation Army brat. I mean, we moved from house to house growing up. I mean, we didn't have electricity at times. We didn't have water at times. That's the kind of mentality that I grew up around. But I decided one day that I wasn't going to let it define me. Another thing that I dislike people saying is, you know, I'm going to show them that I can do it because they don't believe that I can. That mindset to me was like, my foundation isn't on their negativity or their opinion on believing that I can't do it. I base my foundation on, I know that I can. And that's the positive mindset that we had to have, that I had to have as a kid, is I know that I can do it. I'm not going to do it to prove you wrong. I'm going to do it because I know that I can, that I have the ability and tools in me to get me there. And, you know, I just want to encourage the students out there, or just anybody, really, we have to get out of this Rio Grande Valley mindset. I mean, I think we're so kind of regressed in the sense of, we don't know what's out there. I mean, the world is so, the nation alone is huge. The world is so big. If we can be able to think big, we can get out of that mindset. And like I said, you can do it.
So on that note, let me ask you this question. It sounds like you're an individual who understands growth, understands a mindset that is beyond from where you're locally located. So would you consider yourself culturally diverse?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think that I think that's actually what played a role in you know, in the mentality of where I was raised. Is we weren't, I mean, when I met my wife, she was culturally diverse. Okay. I mean, I think for example, just to give you an example, when it comes to food, like I wouldn't get out McDonald's and Church's chicken. Like, that's what I grew up on. And everything else was just chips and munchies and ramen noodles and Hot Pockets. Like, that was me. When I met my wife, man, she was so culturally diverse when just in food alone. But there were certain things that I didn't want to try. Like, what are you eating? You know, we'd go to restaurants and I'm like, I guess I'll try it. And then slowly but surely, like, I would be getting, okay, this isn't too bad. Right. Like, seafood was one of the things that I was just like, man, I grew up never eating seafood. I mean, seafood is just generally a little more expensive than certain foods, right? And to this day, I still don't eat sushi.
Wait. I was about to invite you to Kurai tomorrow. You don't eat sushi?
They have other than sushi. This was my understanding of Kurai, but no, I don't eat sushi. My wife does, she loves it. I can't get myself there. The only seafood that I really eat is like tilapia or fried fish or fried shrimp, jumbo shrimp, stuff like that. But
shrimp stew, shrimp salad, shrimp burger.
Yes, yeah. It just depends. Depends on what's on it, I guess, right? Because there's certain things that I just haven't been able to try that right. I wouldn't be comfortable with ordering a whole meal and not eat it, you know? So to answer your question, yeah, I think I'm more culturally diverse now than I was growing up. I mean, I've been able to travel some states now, even just leaving school, like getting out of the valley. I mean, you begin to see things that you're just like, man, there's more to life than just the Rio Grande Valley. Like, there's so much more that we can do if we just get out of this, I'm going to be remain in the valley, or I have this valley mindset, because we're known as one of the more non-economically friendly places in the entire nation.
That's a fact. I mean, what you're referencing is the Rio Grande Valley, Hidalgo County, is the poorest county in the nation.
Yeah, that's, you know, I don't know if it's the poorest, but it's definitely up there was my understanding. And again, if we can just get out of that mindset of we just got to get a good job here and we'll be fine, man, go out there, experience the world, because you're going to see that there's just so much more that you can do with your own life. I mean,
so let's go back. Let's rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Hidalgo County, the poorest county in the nation. And when we talk about, I don't know how old you are, and I didn't do my research in that aspect. So I'm going to ask you right now, how old are you?
I'm actually I'm 28. I mean, I wish I was a little younger. You know, back in the day, man, I was a good athlete. I was a runner.
28. Wow.
Now I get out of bed and you don't hear noises like, ugh, you know, just trying to get off the couch or something on lights. Like, and my wife, like, leaving this light on is electricity, man. We got to pay bills. So,
well, I mean, I don't know if you do it by choice, but I mean, I feel good being 37 and having this hair. I mean, just for men, help me out a little bit. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Having a full set of hair is definitely a blessing. I mean, I shaved mine just to get ahead. Yeah. You know, I didn't want to have that. People could tell that you're balding phase. I said, you know what? I'm going to get in front of it. People are never going to know when it was. All I know is that I'm bald already.
Yeah. All you got to do is just put on the glasses and be like, ew, Pitbull, and we're good. Yeah. Shout out to Pitbull listening out
there. You go.
305. But okay, let's go back. So I'm 37. I've lived my entire life in the Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah.
You're 28. I don't know if you've lived your entire life in the Rio Grande Valley. Have you?
For the most part, yes. I mean, there was pockets of, I mean, no more than a year. I mean, 6 months, maybe tops of living outside in different states. But here is just, I grew up. This is what I call home. This is where I'm living now. And
okay. So here's the question. In your 28 years of life, in my 37 years of life, why are we in 2020 the poorest? And why aren't we still not having, you know, a skyline, for example? What's your opinion? It's your opinion.
I was about to say, I don't know that I can answer that question, really. What I do know is that I believe it's a mindset that has been kind of just here for generations and generations. I mean, it's no secret. We're right next to the border. So we're predominantly Hispanic or Latino or, you know, whatever you want to label it. And you know, our ancestors came here to really just make a living, right? You know, because country-wise, we're one of the wealthiest nations in the entire world. And I think the purpose of our ancestors, I believe, coming here is to set a foundation to grow from that. But I think there's just so many things that I could say.
Right. No, there's so many variables, obviously.
I don't know that I want to say, right? But
yeah,
it's just a mentality. And I think with the right leadership, it may not be 5 years, 10 years from now, but we can begin to progress to get out of that. I don't know that it has to be the Rio Grande Valley to be the poorest nation. I don't know that there has to be, a poorest community. I don't know that there has to be a poorest community, but I think we can get out of it. And as an idiot, it starts with you. It starts with us, right? It starts with you and me. It starts with, you know, our friends. We have to make a decision to say, you know, I don't have to live this way, because that's the reality.
Right.
I mean, like I said, like we said, even though we're the poorest community, guess what that means? That means there's other parts in the world or in the nation that are not, which means we don't have to move to get there, but it means that we don't have to be poor. And we don't have to have this mentality or this mental state of this is where I have to be. Like, I can grow from it. I can move on past it. I hate to keep saying this word, but it's growth.
Yeah. So to add to that would be like, there's nowhere else to go but up.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're exactly right. I mean, our mentality should be looking up, because we can do it. It's very possible to get us out of this mud or this rut. I mean, when I became licensed, I sat down with my mom and I said, you know, Mom, thank you. Thank you, because I am not here without everything that you did in your life, everything that you invested in, everything that you sacrificed. She was a single mother of four growing up. You know, I said, thank you, because you laid the foundation so that now with my son and my future kids,
you don't want to repeat the story.
We're able, you know, so another thing that I know I say this a lot, but, you know, one thing that I don't agree with is when people kind of look down on other people whose parents, you know, got them, you know, a car or got them really nice things or are able to kind of get them to where they need to be, where we're struggling so much. I don't like looking down on those people, because that should be every parent's goal. That should be every person's goal, mm-hmm. is to be able to get to a place where our generation after us doesn't have to go through that anymore. My son no longer has to live in a world where we don't have electricity for a couple of days, or where we have to borrow electricity from our neighbors by attaching an extension cord, bringing it all the way to our home just so that we can have light. I'm thankful to my mom that she laid that foundation so that my son doesn't have to go through that, or right. go through a day without any water, or go through a day where all we eat is McDonald's or whatever. Although that's probably what he's going to want is chicken nuggets. You know,
but the McRib is back. I'm not going to lie to you. That stuff is bomb.com.
Oh, man. I mean, like I said, I grew up on McDonald's. I still love it. My wife, for some reason, just prefers something else. But
I just have a question on McDonald's, though. Like, and when I was growing up, like, why did they have crooks as characters? They had the Hamburglar. Like, I wanted a
Hamburglar. Yeah.
I wanted to be the Hamburglar.
I don't know. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe it was just to get our attention. Like, oh yeah, I want to be that guy. Or I want to be Ronald, or, you know, bring me that purple costume and put it on so I can be that other dude. I forget his name, but
I forget his name too. I just remember Hamburglar, and I was like, yo, man, like, that guy is awesome. Like,
yeah. I want to get all the burgers too, you know, bring it all. So, like I said, we should just focus on growing our own lives. And by doing that, it kind of enables us to be a blessing to other people around us. I mean,
absolutely. Amen.
You know, my wife has this thing in the house, and I believe it's a quote by Mother Teresa, and I don't remember word for word, but it's something along the lines of, if you want to change the world, start with your family. And that really means start with us. You know, it has to start, you know, and it has to start in my home. If I want to see change, I got to be better.
Right.
And as I get better and as I grow, the people around me get better. Right. Because you heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together. Now, who do you want to hang out with? Who do you want to be with? You want to be with eagles. I want to be with eagles, people who are soaring high in the sky and observing everything and being able to bring people up to the higher height. Or do you want to be above, you know, on the floor, getting squished all the time? The decision is yours. Right. The decision is yours and mine. And the moment that we decide to take it, we start moving towards that growth. And that's, I believe that's the goal. Hey, whatever it is in life, you know, whatever, whether it's your job, your career, your education, a relationship, growth is key.
Absolutely. Now going back to the whole thing about being poor, being broke and so forth. And that's, you know, that's just a fact. It happens in almost every community.
Yeah.
But, you know, truer words cannot be said that hold this information, and they hold these words actually. And it takes a village to raise a child. And that right there, guys, like I mean, those words right there in itself is the value to our existence.
Yeah.
Us talking here today, it's gonna go transcend to your family and friends. It's gonna transcend to everybody who I had no connection to before.
Yeah.
And now you are creating that flower, that tree of connections, but you gotta keep on watering them. Because if you don't water them, they're gonna die and they're gonna wither, you know. But that doesn't mean that there's not beauty. Because even in death there's beauty.
That's it, yeah.
You know, when in fall, when the trees change color, they're dying,
yeah,
but it looks beautiful, right?
Oh yeah. It's a beautiful image. Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, like I said before, I would not be here where I am in my life.
Yeah.
As an attorney, as a father, as a husband, if it weren't for the people around me. I mean, you're exactly correct. I mean, it took me a lot of
marriages to understand.
You know, and as long as you continue growing, I mean, it goes back to that. You know, people around, I mean, just to put it in perspective, I mean, why or how it takes a community. My wife and I had our son in 2019, right before the pandemic hit. So right. What did that mean for us? And we didn't have help. And man, it was a lot of lack of sleep. And I know you go through that already, but it helps to have somebody to help you take care of the child, even for a couple of hours. Our son would hardly sleep, you know, in the beginning stages of his life. And we hardly had time to shower. I mean, having somebody there, it, like you said before, it takes a village. I mean, it definitely helps you and it allows you to be able to do the things that you want to do. I mean, our time is invested in certain things. And when we don't have that help or that community to do other things, it doesn't allow us to grow. You know, it almost prevents us because we're so tied down to so many other things that we need that help to kind of carry us sometimes.
Right.
You know, and then, like you said, there's going to be situations in life where you don't expect them. I mean, they're unexpected. There's going to be situations in life where maybe we made decisions that got us there, but it's going to take somebody. It's going to take a friend, a family member, a community to get us out and to allow us to kind of put us back into position where we want to be to continue our goal in life of having that purpose and having that growth and continuing, really.
You know, and all it takes is just 5 minutes to listen to somebody, to understand where they're coming from. I think one of the biggest things, two things that we can take away that I can present you right now is help me understand one. But then the second one, I'll come back to that one because it's floating in my mind somewhere right now. But right now, like if you are trying to understand individuals and in their frame of minds, it takes 5 minutes to understand, right? And then the second part out of all of this is just like, you know what, just make the relationships and have common sense, because at the end of the day, that's number two. Common sense should prevail in anything. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, when it comes to being or being able to understand somebody, I mean, I think it does take an ear. And I, you know, people say this often, but we have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. Right. We were created to listen and to hear more than we were to speak. And sometimes, look, you don't even have to understand a person. Sometimes just being there for them, knowing that they need somebody, at least understanding that through common sense is enough.
Yeah.
You know, and can bring hope to somebody. You can bring that comfort that they need. You're right. I mean, it takes a village, one, but being there for somebody and allowing us to use our common sense and being wise about certain decisions that we make.
Yeah.
I mean, can help a lot of people, including ourselves.
Yeah, Rudy, it's been wonderful having this 1 hour conversation here with you.
It's been a pleasure for me too, man. I'm like I think I said it off camera, but this is my first podcast. So I was excited. I said, okay, you know, let me just look at my schedule and we can make it happen. So thank you again for the opportunity.
How did it make you feel? I mean, let me ask you this, you know, like what was your thought process on all of this? I mean, coming from a brand new attorney, el licenciado.
Yeah, no, coming from a brand new attorney, I mean, I think, you know, so I thought, if I can just help one person, I think you actually have this on something similar on your Facebook page, but if you can just bring hope to one person or bring encouragement to at least one person, I said, you know, I'm going to do it. At the end of the day, look, I'm thankful that I've been able to develop, you know, certain skills in my life that allows me to do things that, you know, maybe somebody else would not. I need to help. I need to kind of hold myself accountable and say, you know, I've been working on these gifts and been able to give the, been given the ability to grow these gifts. I got to use them, you know, and when it's on a podcast or it's over the phone or it's on television or in a courtroom, I said, you know, I got to say yes, because I can bring hope to even one person. And if that's what it's about.
I think we brought hope to you, because now you have a decision to make. You got to choose a brand new NFL team. And it cannot be the Dallas Cowboys, man. It's got to be somebody brand new.
You know, who's your football team anyway? don't come at me and say something like the Jets or something like that, because then we have a whole different
Man, if I had to choose, I'll go Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson. I like what that kid brings.
Yeah. I mean, very talented, man. Young. These people, I mean, these athletes are so young, you know, and it kind of just brings back, not I don't want to say memories, but it kind of makes me wonder, you know, what can we be doing with our lives at that age, you know? And then for me, I was kind of like, I mean, I'm in a sense a late bloomer. I mean, I started believing and that I could do things and kind of having a vision about life, and a little later than I would have thought. But had I done that at an early age, man, who knows where I would have been blessed to be able to be.
You're 28 excited. Years old, man.
You know, I feel like time flies by, man. And I tell this to my wife all the time, like, man, 50 years is short. Like, it goes by quick. And I want to be able to leave a legacy of hope to people. And, you know, time is going by quick. So I want to do that every chance I can, and every chance I get, and even with you here. So
so going back to this, if we're the proponents of change, and it starts with us.
Yeah.
Will you ever make a move from
the Dallas Cowboys
to help your community in the aspect of running for something? I personally have done so.
You know, I don't know what my career holds in that aspect of it. I do know that in the near future, my goal is to be in private practice, just to kind of give you a little understanding of for the audience of what that means. Right now, I'm working for the federal government, so that's what we consider public service, right? Mm-hmm. Public practice, because we're not allowed to have our own clients and stuff like that, with very few exceptions that don't apply to me. But my goal in the near future is to move into the private practice realm, where I believe I'll be more in tune with the community, you know, closer to home type of thing. Not that I can't do that now, but I think doing that, I'll be able to invest more time in the community. Mm-hmm. And that's where it starts. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if people tell me that I should run in the future, and people see me running in the future, and I'm like, right now I'm
you're focused on your family.
I'm looking at myself. Yeah. I'm looking at myself and I'm saying, I got to grow. Yeah. If that's where my goal is,
awesome.
My vision is, I got to work on myself to get there, you know?
And that's a great moment of reflection, because, you know, oftentimes we see individuals that are like, well, let me do it. I want to do it. Not having a plan. And right. It goes back to having a plan. If you have a plan, then you can communicate it and implement it more readily and available to everybody, that your stakeholders, that you can guide it, as opposed to, you know what, I'm going in cold feet.
You're exactly right. And it's great that we're able to build this connection, you and I, because, hey, you just said you ran. So, hey, if that ever comes around, you know, I have somebody with experience here. So that'll be helpful.
I don't know how much help I could be, but I'm always open. Rudy, it's been a pleasure. It's been a great time here with you, and hope to hear from you soon. Again, perhaps we can have the serial tipper on board sometime. But hey.
There you go. she would definitely love that. I mean, again, it's your podcast. So whenever you're free, whenever you're ready, I mean, I'll let her know. And absolutely. Again, thank you so much for the opportunity, and I look forward to staying in touch with you even after this podcast, man.
No, anything you need, just let us know, hit us up. Thank you once again. The Joseph Bot Podcast has been a great time with Mr. Rudy Reese, attorney at law. Thank you so much. Have a great one.
Likewise.